So Hare Krishna Prabhu's thank you for coming to the last session of our seminar. Preaching is the essence. I will just continue where we left off, so that you can, so that we can smoothly go to the other points. Many times it happens that devotees are confronted with members of other religions, most importantly here in Europe, the Christians. And many times the Christians are not very inclined to take to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Now this you can't say. We are also coming from that background, but I'm speaking of the fanatic Christian who announces himself typically like this: I'm a Christian. Then you know when someone starts like this, Hare Krishna. I always say, do you love Jesus? And then they are out of their minds. No, I say, Jesus loves you. Prabhupada says about this group, I mean, it's not, it's just the aggressive, fanatic Christian. Regarding the disturbing groups of Christians, the so-called Christians, that is all right. Let them follow Lord Jesus Christ. Regarding their dogmatic insistence, everyone thinks like that. So if one is not prepared to advance more, it is better to avoid them. If one is limited by some formulas only, he is described as an animal, which is bound up by the chain of the master and cannot move beyond the length of the chain. So we are concerned with persons who are not chained by anything. Once Hridayananda Maharaj was asked, how do you preach to Christians? And he said, the answer is simple, you don't. He was speaking again, it is important that you understand this, of those who are chained up by a chain and cannot move beyond the length of this chain. We as devotees, I would venture to say, must also not give the impression to others that we are chained up by our chain. It's very important that we allow ourselves freedom to speak with everyone and see those God-conscious points. Our philosophy is very universal. We know Krishna is Brahman. We know Krishna is Paramatma. We know Krishna is Bhagavan. Very important. I have learned these lessons by preaching and sometimes nice, I would even say, devotees, you know, who are nice people, they were saying, Sachinanda Swami, whenever you talk to me, you just want to convince me and convert me, you know. Aren't you seeing it a little bit too... And, anyways, we of course are convinced about Krishna consciousness, but we should also recognize the width and the breadth. We should understand our own philosophy as being something all-encompassing. Mm-hmm. So, now there is another interesting quote. I would like to ask you, does any one of you have a Srimad Bhagavatam in one volume here? Here direct? Could you please get it, Rohini, and bring it to me? So, we will... Du, Rohini Mataji, du kannst es bitte auch gleich aufschlagen. Vierter Kanto, 22. Kapitel, also 22, 24. 4, 22, 24. Und mir das direkt bitte geben. Gut. So we will come to this point, because there is a quote in the Bhagavatam. Now another point is, don't be aggressive when you preach. At the same time, don't tolerate nonsense. And this is a little difficult maybe to combine, therefore let us please hear this wonderful quote which makes it clear. This tape makes a noise, maybe it's at the end, or please look at it. I'm very much encouraged to learn that you are bold enough to challenge any non-devotee, as you did with that impersonalist yoga student. That should be the temperament of all our preachers. We should not be aggressive, but we should not tolerate any sort of nonsense. One who says that God is not merciful because he has made one person happy and one distressed is most nonsensical. This very statement affirms that man as a godless rascal. All of these so-called yogis are therefore rascals because they have no actual realization of God. Falsely, they think themselves as God, and their association should be avoided as far as possible. I think it. One quotation makes it more clear. Even this quotation is maybe not the quotation we are just looking. I just realized. It's said in here, you shouldn't be aggressive. It's said about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he politely changed the minds of the impersonalists. As soon as you become aggressive, the false ego of the other person is evoked, so much so that he won't be able to listen to your points any more. Plus, it's not very good if you become aggressive. You lose your sharpness of mind. Anger destroys the intelligence and makes it fickle-minded. You can't have a sharp intelligence if you are angry. For instance, Hitler. It's an endearing little detail, became sometimes so angry that he jumped up and had to bite into the carpet in absolute rage. My grandfather was there and he told me he saw this two or three times, you know. He was so uncontrolled and he didn't have a very clear perception of reality, this man. So don't allow that anger overcomes you. Stop it when you feel it dwells up. It is not Vaishnav way, and it is not very good. Now about criticizing other religions. Let us hear a nice quotation about this. 4:22. For such a good quotation, let me find this for you. Yes, here, please. Sorry, here we have it. I gave you a wrong quotation. It's in text 25. Please correct this in your notes. And another important point mentioned in this connection is anindaya. We should not criticize others' methods of religion. There are different types of religious systems operating under different qualities of material nature. Those operating in the modes of ignorance and passion cannot be as perfect as that system in the mode of goodness. In Bhagavad Gita, everything has been divided into three qualitative divisions. Therefore, religious systems are simply categorized. When people are mostly under the modes of passion and ignorance, their system of religion will be of the same quality. A devotee instead of criticizing such systems, will encourage the followers to stick to their principles so that gradually they can come to the platform of religion in goodness. Simply by criticizing them, a devotee's mind will be agitated. Thus, a devotee should tolerate and learn to stop agitation. It's a beautiful quotation explaining how the modes of nature might bring karma or jnana tinges into certain mundane religions. But still, these religions are a process of purifying the followers. So if you just outright criticize them, you will take away, you will be agitated, and you will take away the person's possibility for advancement in life. Now, another thing is, because we have such, I took a lot of quotes here, because we have such devotees who are a little fiery by nature. It said, hate Maya, never the person. It comes from the Christian word, hate the sin and not the sinner. And I have taken a quotation to make this point clear, which is quite amazing. Please hear this. Prabhupada says, we don't hate anyone, otherwise there will be no preaching. And Lord Jesus Christ said that you hate disease, not the man who is suffering from disease. That is very nice. So we shall hate this influence of Maya, but not the man who is now under the influence. Then how we can preach? That is our business. Doctor knows that this man is infected with some serious disease, but if he hates, then he cannot make treatment. The man requires treatment. So if he hates, no, he is diseased, I cannot go there, then how can? So we shall hate this influence of Maya. We should know how Maya is acting, but still we have to do our duty, preaching work on behalf of Krishna, sometimes taking risk also. What can be done? This is the position of the world. Okay, so this is the attitude of a preacher. Even if a person is very nasty, see him as a potential devotee and just try to work at his misconceptions. I have seen this many times, that people have really exploded in my face. You know, you always preaching to me, and you always say I'm a... Now there is someone who is a karate fighter, a parachute jumper, and also a sword fighter, a very intense person. Just 2 weeks ago, the person came to me and said, I'm very interested to hear one thing from you. You always care for me so much. Why? Why do you think I'm special? And he said, and another thing is, why do you think I'm a devotee? I'm very interested to hear. I'm behaving in such unnormal ways. You know, your devotees don't usually are sword fighters and parachute jumpers and karate fighters. Why do you say I'm a devotee? And I was just explaining it, and now the person is chanting 16 rounds and may not live in the temple. There's no parachute jumping in the temple. We can maybe bring him to here, to Haradesh, and he can fly from the top of the tower over the valley. And you can have it as a special Oma and Opa tourist attraction, you know, when they come. But you know. Well, I gave an example. Bhakti Marian wants to know, what did I say, what touched his heart? I said, it's like the fire brigade. When there is a fire in the town, all of a sudden, people who never dressed in the uniform of a fireman Feuerwehrmann. They and you hear the siren, the mitzvah. Then they jump out of their beds and they become active. Externally, they never looked like firemen, but when it came to do the action, then they fought the fire. In the same way, you are against slaughterhouses, against killing animals. You are against the lie of the capitalistic society. You are against, and he's a revolutionary-minded person, and you like devotees. That's why you are a devotee. Externally, you don't look like one, and your behavior look very unusual for a devotee, but you have the same aims, and you also want to become, he's reading the Bhagavad Gita because it is the codex for the right, for Kshatriya. He likes Arjuna very much. You also become interested by the words of the of Krishna consciousness. Obviously, you can't say to anyone who is a devotee, a little attachment must be there. So he likes reading, and he likes to fight injustice. So on that basis, I said. So another very nice point is, it has to do with creating a higher taste. Prabhupada spoke once what to do when the audience is a little unruly. And yes, here. This must auch noch that we also have to corrigate. It's on page 119, was ich jetzt lese. 119.1. Und das nicht 118.2. Those who are agitated in the mind, they will hear neither Krishna conscious philosophy nor Christian philosophy. So to make the mind smoother, you should chant Hare Krishna nicely, not to do it by changing the philosophical topics. The chanting will work. When there is no possibility of talking philosophy, we should simply chant nothing more. Don't talk anything. When your audience is so disturbed, like we had one public program full of the young people from the schools who, it was on the same day when the holidays started. They were all so restless. Oh, holidays, yoo-hoo. And, they had their drugs with them at the program. I mean, soft drugs, alcohol. And they were just like, all this energy was going on. And I was trying to talk, a long lecture of 3/4 of an hour. And then in the midst, then after 5 minutes, I had tried all my shaktis, just starting a story, making a startling fact, talking very softly, making a pause, or joking at someone. Oh, this person really can't sit still. It seems he has ants in his pants. This is a trick. You get all the audience on your side, and then they laugh about someone who's disturbing you, and this person is then dead, and then they can't do the same thing which the person just did in order to not be criticized also. That's one of the dirty tricks again. But nothing worked. And then we just decided also, it was important to. First, I wanted to be. Was a little frustrated, and I almost said, "You, why are you so?" But I said, "Well, since you are very happy that the holidays are coming," and yes, I said, "Okay, so I think we should do some music." Yes, bravo, super, and we continued with the music, with the bhajans. So this is important to know. So then quote Sanskrit. Sometimes devotees asked, why so much Sanskrit if they can't understand? And Prabhupada, he said about quoting Sanskrit, 1973, this Sanskrit verse is meant for understanding ourselves. It is not for simply selling our books. Every one of you, we are repeating this verse again and again so that you are expected to chant these mantras, not that the book is kept. I am very learned scholar. What kind of learned scholar? If I find the book, then I can speak. That is not scholarship. You must chant. Therefore, we are teaching in our Dallas children simply to learn Sanskrit. This is one quotation, and another is, always quote our Sanskrit authorities in connection with the main points, and that will impress them greatly. In other words, quoting Sanskrit will make your talk sound authorized. It lends you a certain authority. They know that you have read your subject, you have studied it, and you are not just talking on your own, but you are talking from the tradition and the scripture. This people want to see that. They are not so interested if you hear, if they hear you alone talking on no one's grounds. Sometimes preachers open therefore a lecture by saying, I would like to share with you some of the great points of wisdom, sorry my English is not so good, which are found in the Vedic scriptures. You know, then the people will, oh, he's not talking, just speculating, but it is something of value. He has gone through the work to study the books and taken some points out for us in our understanding. That's very nice. Let us listen to him and learn something new. Yes, this is very good, very important. Then one devotee, our Damodar Prabhu, was asking what to do if your audience is already familiar with Krishna consciousness. Say you give a lecture in one club where you have like a Namhata gathering, or you give a Sunday lecture where regulars are coming and hearing you, what to do in this case. There are two tips which are given. When you give to regulars, you should always have fresh subjects for them. It is very important, otherwise people won't listen to you. Now, the thing becomes difficult if you give a Sunday lecture, where you have regulars and newcomers. Then it really becomes difficult. So, the devotees in America do one thing, they separate the crowd. They announce a lecture, a specific lecture for the regulars. And I want to start experimenting with it. We personally have never done it in our temples, but I think it is of some value. What is not clear to me is how to separate them. Maybe someone who knows and has seen the preaching in America knows. I can just imagine if I say to someone, hold the regulars, please go here, and it doesn't sound so. I think we must think about it a little bit. That's at least what Gunagrahi Maharaj and Mahatma explained in their course, that they do separate, not only in two groups, but in three groups. They had one lecture for the Indian audience, who needs, the Indians have certain needs to hear certain things, for the newcomers and for the regulars. So, you might like to think about this and talk with your... What I always try is, in my lectures, to try to tell a new story or to just bring basic points but with a new perspective. That's what I personally try. Yeah, I was thinking about it. Maybe it works, but if I would be a guest and I would think, I'm the more advanced also. I'm sorry, but actually, No, no, you could say it like this. You may not say, maybe not more advanced, but those who come more often, you know, like this, maybe. More advanced is already a qualitative difference. Those who come more often, yeah? Talk with your temple president about this. This is something which must be done in connection with the temple president. Anyways, that's the answer to Damodar's question. And then now the last point on this is... No, actually, I will make it the very last point. Now, the art of speaking the truth. This point came up 2 times today in the class, and one, our devotee with the fastest tape changer of the world was asking this, and I think also one Mataji was asking. So there are, now I want to really, really request you to listen carefully. If you quote me wrong at the communication seminars, they will hang me, because it's, now you really have to listen properly. Regarding, I will first read one quote and then I will read another quote of Prabhupada. Regarding, it's a touchy question, those who are a little sleepy, please, you know, do some aerobic, you know, so that you get the point. You will like it very much. Regarding your questions, your first question was, should the devotee always speak the truth to everyone in all circumstances? The answer is yes. One should always speak the truth, but qualified devotee will be able to speak the truth always very palatable to everyone, so that it will sound pleasing even to his enemy. That is the art of speaking truth. Satyam bruyat, priyam bruyat. We have heard this already in the lecture called Preaching and Behavior of the Preacher. It is that satyam, the truth spoken palatably should be spread. Unpalatable subjects should not be spread. But Prabhupada qualified this statement later by saying, sometimes a devotee in preaching has to speak something unpalatable. But he must still learn to talk to it, to talk it in a pleasing way that everyone will be pleased, otherwise they will revolt. Now this is the one thing. Now I will come to the famous Tulasi eating story. Please hear this and you will love Prabhupada very much after this. It is a very transcendental thing. But that kind of lie, I will tell you, but that kind of lie, as you have given example of the apartment manager, telling him that, yes, we have gotten permission to distribute here, that kind of lie is not harmful. The highest development of Krishna consciousness understanding will be when you are able to give anyone the truth, but in such a manner that they will respond in a positive way. In other words, we want them to respond in a positive way. We want them to become devotees and get out of Maya. If people like to contribute by hearing such things, there is no harm. That is just to induce him to purchase. Some of my godbrothers, I can remember, when we used to go out for begging some contribution from some big men, they used to say that my Guru Maharaj had lived for 12 years in the forest, in solitary place, living only on the tulasi leaves. I could scarcely stop from laughing when I heard such story. But it was effective to get the money and give to our Guru Maharaj, and he was pleased by our gift. So the idea is not what you are saying so much as how you say it. If you understand this properly, then you may be able to say the truth at all times in the most palatable way according to the situation and the type of hearer. To perfect this art takes practice. So practice preaching from this understanding and gradually you will develop it more and more. But we should never steal anything like money, food, water, gasoline, just to enhance our service to Krishna. That is too much dangerous. And if we are caught, then all of our work is finished. Just like in India recently, this Bal Yogi Guru Maharaji, you know him? This is a young boy who said he's God. Was detected by the customs authorities attempting to smuggle some small items into India. By this one tiny incident, his entire effort for preaching, even he is rascal number one, and his preaching is nonsense, even so the example is there, his work is now ruined, and he is practically finished, as the government will not grant him passport to leave India. So we shall always be careful to avoid any kind of jeopardizing our high standard in the society by some foolish and small act of illegal stealing. So those of you truth lovers who have become highly fascinated by this answer, you can find this it's a letter. It's written 72-12, that means 12th of December, it's on the 31st of December 1972, a letter to Sankarshan. Yes? Here you will find how Prabhupada laughs about the story how his Guru Maharaj supposedly ate only two lassi for 12 years in the forest, which makes the point clear. Now, I want to illustrate a little bit this story. Remember, because I know it's a question in devotee's mind, remember the Mahabharata war, Duryodhan could only be killed if he would hear that his son Ashwatthama had been killed. Dronacharya. Dronacharya would only be able to become killed if he would hear his son was killed. Now Dronacharya fought against Dharma, you could say, or against the Pandavas, and he was one day extremely powerful, and alone it seemed that he was eating up the army of the Pandavas like a fire eats up straw. So powerful. So then this Krishna told this, and then Yudhishthira was asked. Now, Ashwatthama couldn't be killed on that day for some reason. So Yudhishthira was asked to say it. Yudhishthira said, Ashwatthama is not killed. How can we say it? It's the untruth. Then Bhima said, truth or untruth? Ashwatthama is killed! I'm sorry. Dronacharya heard it. And he asked, who has said this? Bhima. He will say anything to win the war. I only believe it if Yudhishthira says it. He always tells the truth. So at that time, Krishna said to Yudhishthira, I think you have to say this. Yudhishthira said, I can't tell an untruth. So then, there was an idea. There was an elephant called Ashwatthama. Bhima went with a club, and then bang, and killed the elephant. Then Yudhishthira said, Ashwatthama, the elephant is killed. Now when he said the elephant, Krishna took his conch shell and blew in it. So what was heard is Ashwatthama is killed. And when Duryodhana, no, sorry, Dronacharya heard this, all courage left him. He sat down on the battlefield, and then Drishtadyumna, who was born from the flame, together with Draupadi, and who had to fulfill this function, he came and he did the work of liberating Duryodhana. Dronacharya. Mistaken. So, understand, we are at a battlefield. Yudhishthira's chariot was sinking in the ground afterwards. It had never touched the ground before. And learned authorities have quarreled, have discussed about this and said, they said, one side said, well, Yudhishthira was involved in a lie. That's why it touched the ground. And the other side said, no, Yudhishthira did not follow transcendental, the instructions of Lord Krishna. And therefore it touched the ground. And Prabhupada sides with the second version. Now, I'm sorry that this has become, of course, what I don't want to justify is lying. We should always ask if this is necessary. If you speak an unnecessary lie just because it is easier, you will be polluted by the effect of speaking the untruth. But if you speak a lie in Krishna consciousness, so to say, the gopis lied to their husbands. Many of you have maybe lied to your family member. Oh, I will only try for some time the Krishna consciousness movement. Anyways, please, this is not a point where we should really, it should not be made into a big point, but I thought it's an interesting point. It's a new point. So therefore I have delved on it. The general rule is a devotee is a perfect gentleman. We must always keep this general rule. This is how you would recognize a devotee.
Maharaj, so to give us full idea, could you give an example of how would you present Krishna to a person who doesn't want to listen about the world?
Oh, to give you an example, a Krishna conscious lie example. Krishna consciousness is very easy. Just chanting, eating prasadam and dancing. We all know that there's more to it by now. We have to surrender, have to overcome our false egos. The truth is Krishna consciousness is easy for the pure-hearted. That would be the full truth. So this is my example for a Krishna conscious lie. You can see I cannot serve any sensation. We did many wrong things with this understanding of Krishna conscious lie in the past, and we had to suffer very greatly for it. Therefore our temples must have good bookkeeping. Our temple, this is required. Had so much problems in France because in Hermonville we didn't have perfect bookkeeping. You know, I'm not justifying lies, in other words, but I wanted to introduce to you the concept of absolute truth, where everything comes on the truth. Yes. I will take a last question on this, because it's not a major point. If you want to talk with more about it for your understanding, as I said, I'm already in troubled water. I know this. When our devotees are here, our Mataji had a... What do you think, Marion? No comment. Ja, was? Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. This is where I will repeat it for the benefit of the listeners on, of the tape. Truthfulness is in the mode of goodness, and we have to be in the mode of goodness to practice Krishna consciousness. So what is when we collect for the temples and do activities which are Vaisha, and Vaisha sometimes says, I'm selling you the best candle in the world or the best painting in the world, and it's not the best. Will you become affected? No. And the answer is no. You have to, if you remain on the platform of Krishna conscious, of devotional service. That is actually expressed in the Bhagavad Gita, where it said, Mancha yo vyabhicharina bhakti yogena sevata. If in devotional, those who always keep in the modes, keep in the, on the platform of devotional service and never fall from this platform of devotional service, they will be above the modes of nature. Mm-hmm. Good. So, now, for the remaining of the class, this class ends, I think, at 11:30. Is this correct? Yes. I have another very helpful subject to discuss. I have on page 4, please look at page 4, we have put page 4 of this presenting Krishna consciousness. Yes, not the, it says behavior to avoid. Have you found it? There you will find misconduct, which is often done in preaching. For instance, we have listed compromising the truth to speak palatably. 8th point, not compromising but not speaking palatably enough to get people to accept. 10, preaching to faithless people. 11, intimidating people. 12, using vocabulary that doesn't correspond to a person's social and educational level. Again, we felt that this subject is self-explanatory. If you just read these points, which have been collected mainly from experience as a member of our society and from other devotees, I think you will immediately understand. For instance, misconduct in general, doing anything illegal or immoral, being impolite or arousing public mistrust by any kind of behavior. These things, I think, are so obvious that we really do not need to discuss them in class, but you can just read them on their own, on your own. I really would request all of you after this course to order these materials which have been presented for your assistance in preaching and to go through the points. Then you will easily summarize in your mind what you have heard and what we have discussed up till now. So I would like you to please read this in your own free time. And, you know, change whenever there's some need to change. What I now wanted to discuss is a very, very important last point. And that is that those of you who took the time and the care to come here, I want to request you to go to your temples with a message. Many times our temples are not really very conducive for people who come to us and preach to after they have gotten a book and so on. This temple, I think, is quite well equipped to receive guests. Our Radhadish temple is a very good example in all of Europe, because this temple has really put a lot of energy and interest to receive guests and show them the places. But our other temples, our home temples, may still have to improve a little bit on this. So I want to give a few tips now, which must be discussed in something like Easter Ghosty platform with your temple, so that it can just be more attractive, the temple. When you are a good preacher and you are, or a serious preacher, but you are afraid to send or invite people to the temple because you never know, he might meet Bhakta Joe, who is a little irritable by his nature, or he might see how Bhaktin so-and-so asks every brahmachari in the world or every guest to marry her, then your whole effort can be ruined. We had people coming to temples and be very much disappointed by either they were neglected or something like this. So Prabhupada really wanted our temples to be basis for the preaching. He wanted them, don't have the right quote, it seems here. And that's excellent. Oh no, here it is. Therefore, we should always remember that we possess this nice house not for our comfort, but people will come because they are not. But people will come. If we would have invited people, come and sit down in this Mayapur ground, no, there was no possibility. Therefore, we must possess Krishna's temple very nice, so that people will come and we shall preach. Our temple should be preaching. I would just give a few tips. Appoint a devotee to answer the phone. It's very important. How often do you try to phone a temple? Either there is no response, that's mostly the case, or you just hear some, Now imagine you are phoning any serious institution, you have finally made up your determination to phone the temple, and you hear, what do you want? No, he is not here. Because that we cannot keep make a revolution, Prabhupada, if we don't learn to answer the phone. The best way to answer the phone is, hello, here is Krishna Das from the Hare Krishna temple, Radhadish, can I help you please? Something like that. Second rule, set up your mail order and answer mail. Four rules for answering mail. Promptly. You have this in your notes. You don't have to write it down. It's on page number 10, please. Promptly. Courteously, that means like politely, efficiently and effectively. Then have a database, where you type in all your addresses and send newsletters to them. Then have a preacher forum for all your preachers to exchange, learn, be trained, discuss goals and needs. We started this in Germany and the preaching became really nice. We meet once a month, all preachers, of every type of preaching program. We discuss first what was done and everyone gets inspired. Then we discuss new projects, how to do it, who can do it. We exchange addresses. We say, I was in North Germany and I met this person who is very interested in cooking, but I can't cook. Maybe your party can go up there and show him how to cook. Like this. Just after Janmashtami last year, We started this when Sridhar Swami came and explained the fundraising program. We made a preaching forum. That's very enlivening, and your preachers, see, sometimes preachers feel a little neglected. It's like a rare species in our movement to be a preacher in some of the temples still. They feel, you know, they don't mix so good. In Germany, there was once, you know, I was practically an outcast. That was in 1976 or so, when I was preaching, because either you were a book distributor or you were a Maya. This was a, you know, Germans tend to be a little fanatic sometimes. When they are transcendentalists, not so much. So this is, yes. Anyways, this statement, what I just said, obviously needs some correction. Germans are fanatics, and when they are, but when they are becoming good devotees, they transcend this. To be, make these things clear. Five is a newsletter. It's very good if you produce a simple newsletter, and it's fun to make a newsletter. Anyone can participate, even friends. It doesn't cost you anything, and you can mail it to your friends, and they pay a little, whatever the cost is of mailing and contents. And it's very, very nice. It's fun to write for a newsletter. Then you can also do your writing habit. You can put it in the newsletter. Sixth, make an Easter Goshti, how to improve the preaching atmosphere in the temple. Seven, create a Vaikuntha atmosphere. 8, improve morning and evening programs. And 9, try to make festivals to attract the public. Now, what to do when a visitor comes to your temple? Don't run away. It's what you wanted. Always have a qualified preacher available to greet, talk with, and facilitate guests. If a guest has sufficient interest in Krishna consciousness, he should be introduced to a senior preacher even. Second, teach all devotees how to properly receive guests. You know, if you have someone who just turns guests off, you really have to tell him, Prabhu, this is what is the result of your behavior. Please try to see this, and I'm sure you will be, you will like to improve it. 3, set aside a suitable area for reception. You know, if you have the reception room where all the devotees chant, running back and forth, paying obeisances. I remember when I went first to the temple, and there were two devotees who saw themselves and paid obeisances to themselves. I was so irritated. The first thing I thought is that this bag, which they have around the neck, must be their private medicine bag. So I thought a very important pill, which this person most probably needed, had fallen out of the bag, and he was now searching for it on the floor. And I remember, I didn't want to, you know, it looked so strange. Now the monk is on the floor, and I was so irritated, I immediately went also on my knees and looked for the pill, you know, because I didn't know how to react. This was my understanding, you know. So I was shocked when they went down on the floor, and then I thought, well, it must be something very, he must have lost something very dear, otherwise he wouldn't get down on the floor like this. It would be highly important, you know, to him. So, this is a misunderstanding. So have a nice, suitable area for the reception. Then, you know, if you need half an hour before you have the key to the books or the video or the temple store, then your guest might be gone. So maybe you should make an arrangement that the key is in excess. Then promote within the temple a mood of respect, affection, and dedication towards the spiritual leaders of the temple and the movement. If you have someone, you know, who talks to your guest, you know, look at this person, he's a guru. But he takes 2 hours on the toilet, you know. Or, you know, if some talk like this is is done, you know, then how can the people get faith in you? This is, unfortunately, sometimes devotees are not aware of this. Therefore, I'm saying it, you know, very bad. 7. Consider the needs and suggestions of all visitors. I had to learn this from two friends of Krishna, who I consider devotees who live outside, who make suggestions. So at first I thought they wanted to attack our movement, but then I learned, no, they meant well. They wanted to help the devotees. And so I just want to say, if someone comes to you and wants to suggest something, be open to this. Don't be afraid, for instance, after a program or a lecture, to hand out questionnaires. How did you like the program? Good, middle, disappointing. We have these categories. What did you like? What did you not like? Any suggestions? And you will see people will feel very, very glad that they can say something. And even if they thought you did something wrong, just because you asked them for your opinion, they are willing to oversee this. They thought, well, this person is very nice. I mean, everyone makes a mistake, and I also make mistakes many times, but, you know, like this, they will feel like this and be very glad. So, Hare Krishna, please come in. I want to thank you very much for your kind attendance to this course. We will now hand out to you the tests. We thought to do it like this. This test is mainly meant to help you to review the points which we have made in our class. You won't be judged by this test. Anyone who came to this course passes with the note good or satisfying. Let us say satisfying. But this test, you should nevertheless do it for yourself. Then if you like to hear from me, or like to have any more questions, you can send me the test to Heidelberg. You can also please write your suggestions how I can improve this course. I want to go with this course through our temples and give seminars if possible. So I need the input of your listener. You were, so to say, the guinea humans, the first ones to hear it. And please give your suggestions how to improve it, so that our devotees can be enlivened by this, because the subject matter is very good. So those of you who do not want to send me the test, it's all right. Those of you who would like to hear my responses on your test, it is also very all right. And don't forget to write your address so that I can communicate with you. Thank you very much, and Srila Prabhupada ki jai! Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching movement ki jai! Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol!